So obviously there's some people that are in favor of this. Yeah. There's obviously some criticism. Yeah. I've seen some of both.
Right.
How has the team and the leadership processed some of this criticism, and what is some of the criticism that's come out against it?
Well, so the Super Bowl was the peak of the criticism.
That's right.
So in the middle of the Super Bowl, AOC, the liberal congresswoman from New York, tweeted, this is trying to make fascism look benign. So, you know, not exactly a friendly.
That's amazing.
Sheesh, man.
She's awesome.
Shout out to AOC. But do you see my point?
The Christians think that it's a progressive Christian commercial, and then the liberals are like, this is fascism in disguise.
You're upsetting everybody because you're not being clear. Just be clear. I think that's what AOC wants, and I think that's what conservatives want. Conservative Christians. Just be clear.
Yeah.
Response to the ads. Now, why would they say such a thing? Well, because there a lot of news stories came out that this is that one of the funders of this is, you know, on more conservative side, they give to a fund that gives to different funds. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, this is bad. And so that was at the beginning. And my joke is, you know, and a million people went to the website there in the Super Bowl after AOC tweeted. So that, you know, that had a lot of people.
Okay, there you go.
It wasn't really a million, but I'm like, that's my joke. Million people. Thank you, AOC. So then Charlie Kirk tweeted a little later that the Green family. So remember, one of the families that helped to resource this is the Green family. So the Hobby Lobby family.
Yep.
And so then Charlie Kirk tweeted, and I don't remember the exact wording, but something like they're being fooled into, misportraying Jesus or something like that. And then a million people come to the website. So the reality is we live in a time when it's 2024, boys and girls. Everything's controversial. Everyone is someone's hero, someone's villain. And when you run ads that are geared towards engaging skeptics using creative ways, C.S. Lewis talked about why he wrote fanciful stories. He wanted to steal past the watchful dragons because in his day, everyone sort of knew the gospel story. So what he said is, I'm trying to sneak past these watchful dragons of your familiarity with the story of the Christian story.
Okay.
You're not C.S. Lewis. This ain't Lion, Witch, in the Wardrobe, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. But your website doesn't share the gospel.
Is he even doing a good job? We want to sneak past the... Right?
Oh.
Is that even happening? Because it seems like you're just pissing everybody off.
I get the intent.
What are you sneaking past?
And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but his whole point was that bad press is good press. And that even though people are mad, a million people went to the thing. That's the joke. Charlie Kirk tweeted, a million people went. AOC tweeted, a million people went. And kind of our conclusion after visiting the website is that there's not really...
It's a big nothing sandwich.
There's a big nothing sandwich on the website. So is getting people to the website even a win, really? That's the concern from the Christian perspective.
Yeah.
That being said, I love your work. We'd love to have you on.
Play some more. I'm curious if Sean is so winsome and gentle. I'm just curious if they push him on this.
Let's see.
With these fanciful tales that he would tell. Well, so in some ways, the campaign is trying to steal past the watchful dragons of people who've sort of rejected Christianity. Mm-hmm. Say, look what Jesus did. And he did some pretty shocking things about how he elevated women, how he challenged the religious authorities. I mean, we can look at dozens of things. So that, to a skeptic who may have rejected Christianity, in that frame, then say, well, I want to learn more. And then they go to the website and they learn more. They go to the Bible reading plans. So I think Joe Carter wrote kind of a thing.
So it sounds like they want to get people to the right Bible reading plans. Okay, fair enough. That's a noble pursuit. I'm not mad at that. They have Bible reading plans, yeah?
Let's see how fast we can get there with the least amount of clicks.
Learn more. Okay. Explore all content.
So two clicks. More articles. These are all commercials and articles that they've made.
Okay. Where are the Bible reading plans?
Let's just click on one. Maybe they promote it inside the apps. So let's go here. Watch and read. So they share all this stuff. Consider our intentions.
Maybe that's the scriptural reference. Maybe that's the Bible reading plan. Click on that. Mm.
Explore our Bible reading plans.
Okay, click on that. So that's four clicks?
It's five.
Five clicks.
Six.
Okay.
And then all the reading plans.
Click on the reading plan. Okay. 7-day reading plan. Sweet.
Man, I think it would be so much better if they just pushed that one click away at the very, very front at the very, very front of the page.
It looks like it connects to the U version.
So they have a gets us. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be way, like, people shouldn't have to go hunting for your end goal. Like, your CTA, if that's what you want it to be, and there's no QR code at the end of the thing for the Bible reading plans.
Thing about the He Gets Us campaign that I tend to read, I read the different criticisms, I read the different suggestions, I read the different things. But in that case, he said, man, if you like pre-evangelism, you probably will get the He Gets Us campaign more. Because it's not, like, in 30 seconds.
So they're calling it pre-evangelism. Hmm. That's the
sowing seeds.
Pre-evangelism. Sowing seeds. Yes.
60 seconds. The ads in the Super Bowl coming up. A lot of people will listen to this after the Super Bowl. But the 2024 Super Bowl, it's 60 seconds at this time. These things change, which I didn't know.
They recorded this before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, right?
That's crazy, yeah.
But it's 60 seconds and then a 15-second one. You can't go from... creation, fall, redemption, and restoration.
Of course.
God,
of course.
Us, sin, Christ's response. So it's a conversation starter. So we knew there'd be some criticism. I think there are things to learn and to be clearer on. And part of early on, I wanted to help them be clearer on some things as well. So that's all part of that journey.
But let me ask you this. In terms of the pushback, you've got someone from the left, you got some from the right, you gave us numbers.
Yeah.
Do we know that these are actually skeptics that have responded, or are these Christians going, oh, I should be reading the Bible, I'm going to sign up?
Yeah, we don't know. And that's because we don't ask them demographic questions when they come, because people aren't generally willing to give demographic questions when they come. Yeah. So for us, we've seen, I through some of these referrals to churches, countless people come into faith in Christ, and I love that. But we don't know of the percentage of individual people, largely because what we used to call seekers, and now we might call explorers or curiously skeptics, whatever.
Sure.
They don't tend to give you their demographic profile or their religious background. So we're not sure. We do know the numbers that we do know, and we do know that, this was the most talked about ad in last year's Super Bowl, before more than anything else.
So how do you know that? Just searched online?
Actually like magazines that report, like ad meters and stuff
fair
like
enough,
that.
Yeah.
So the most talked about. And so we know that it helped to foster a conversation about who Jesus is. One of the stats that was interesting was people searched for Jesus more during the Super Bowl than they did during Christmas that year.
Really?
So that seems to me, now the challenge is search for Jesus, all kinds of stuff about Jesus
out
there.
That is the problem. Just objections or criticisms I've heard people express.
Yeah, totally.
And get your take on this. One is people would say, how much does a Super Bowl ad cost? $5 million, $10 million?
I think it's somewhere between $5 and $10, but it's a lot of money.
So even creating it behind it, we're thinking tens of millions of dollars. And there's a commercial for Bud Light with somebody scantily clad, deodorant, a car.
Yes.
He gets
Let me just be clear that I don't participate with Bud Light, but if you want to say that there's an ad for that, I understand.
Fair enough. There's a lot at the Super Bowl, of course.
It's not a bastion of righteousness.
So how do we, I just justify, or not necessarily justify, explain the thinking behind so much money for a 30-second ad.
Totally. Yeah.
Walk us through that
it
process.
It is probably the most common objection, particularly from maybe secular people, not that you're secular, Sean, but the reason is
I work for you.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Fair enough. I would say that for me, I know some of the folks behind it. I don't know everybody, but I know some folks behind it. And they had a burden that Christianity really has been misrepresented in culture. And one of the ways that they would like to foster a better understanding of the Christian faith is to point to who Jesus was and what he did. So again, it's sort of like what was the burden on their heart, but of course the challenge is, there's not a thing that you do that someone might say you should have done it this way or differently. But I'm not, and I don't think they're bothered by that. That's just something that they had the resources to do and they felt the call to do. And there's actually news stories that sort of talk about where, they said, how did the Christian message get so misunderstood? And how do we help people understand who Jesus is? So again, back to that frame, who Jesus is, what he does, what he's done, how to understand him more. That's what they wanted to focus on.
Okay, so let me push
please,
back.
Please, just no, my feelings
again, because I know they're not. Mm. Some people say, okay, if we're focusing on who he is and what he did, he gets us, might get us to empathy, the incarnation, but not the death and the resurrection, which is the root of the message itself. So it's not really focused ultimately on what he did. I've heard that pushback. Yeah. So give us some context.
Yeah. The- again, this is more pre-evangelism. We're going to keep coming back to that.
Evangel- you cut that?
Yeah.
You saw that cut?
Yeah, they've had a few. Why do you think they cut out the beginning of what it said?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's definitely a cut there. I just
would be proclaiming Jesus' death on the cross for our sin and in our place and calling women and men to respond by grace and through faith to the good news of that gospel. And you know, the guy who's leading the campaign is a committed follower of Jesus. But there's a team that actually speaks into this that helps to avoid some Christian jargon and things of that sort. So
that makes sense.
You would be, if you're like, this is not, either of you, but if you like been going to church for 30 years, you love Jesus with your whole heart, these ads are not targeted towards you. So you may feel that because these are not, you're not the audience. Now, the question is the audience being moved? And I think that's right now we're kind of thinking through, got some new leadership. I'm not the new leadership. We got some new leadership. We're saying, are we moving the needle the way that we want to? So those are always questions. I think those are good questions to ask.
So let's be a little more specific about the frame that you're talking about. What are some ways in which you think Jesus has been misrepresented at the campaign?
It's a good question.
Things trying to
a
correct.
Good question.
So what are some ways I think Jesus has been misrepresented? I think, I mean, what I write about often is contextualization. And when people make the assumption that Jesus is a, you know, certain cultural expression or a political party, or a way of dress, or whatever, and they kind of put. And I think what's happened is because, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think Christians have always represented Jesus and His kingdom well. It's one of the reasons I wrote Christians in the Age of Outrage, is that they not represented Jesus and His kingdom well. So what happened is that people have sort of missed that Jesus. But I think that's the question. Is like, if people see Christians and assume, for example, Jesus is anti-women, but, I mean, nobody around the table, everyone around the table would just say Jesus was shockingly pro and affirming of women in first century. I mean, shockingly. I mean, you know, women witnessed his resurrection, the woman at the well. We could give hundreds of examples. So when you tell people that Jesus was pro-woman, what does that mean? And obviously that means different people to whoever hears that, those words. When you and I hear that, we're like, well, of course he was. But other people hear that and say, well, what? Because it's all tied up in secular things.
Right.
So the end result is, from that frame, they go learn more. So again, keep hearing that in the frame, huh?
Yeah.
If it produces the huh, or the hook, as you called it, huh, I want to learn more. Then ultimately, if we believe, as I do, that the Bible is God's, you know, inerrant, inspired word, and we can have people reading the Bible. So again, that's the pathway, because there's too many people on the pathway for everyone to have a conversation with. But if we get people engaging God's word, and those people who are interested in also engaging a church, I mean, that to me is a substantive step forward. But those places there, again, back to C.S. Lewis, we've got to steal past the watchful dragons. They say, oh, those Christians, that must mean Jesus is like this. Read the Jesus of the New Testament. It's pretty shocking. And then you hear the full story of the message, and it changes your life. It changes everything. It ultimately renews all things.
And what I think is perhaps most powerful about the campaign is just the three words, he gets us.
Yeah.
I found myself in a few sermons.
Okay. What do y'all think?
Yeah, what do you guys think? I think it was a good interview. I mean, I don't think—
I like the heart.
It sounds like they're
trying to find something nice to say.
You know what it is? Is this?
Yeah, tell me.
It sounds like they are
sweet guys
trying to find their way, like a small company would.
That's good.
But with tens of millions of dollars every single year.
Sounds like a very wealthy Christian had some money they wanted to throw.
They needed a tax write-off
at this. Maybe I know we don't want to do that because that's an appeal to motive, but it sounds like they had some desire to a burden to do this in a specific way, and then they maybe went and hired specific experts that consulted them into this direction. And I think it's also perhaps unfair for us to Sunday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
What they could have done and should have done different.
And that's kind of what I mean, is that, like, imagine if you got injected with $20 million a year, $30, $40 million a year 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, before you
fleshed this stuff out,
had this 5-6 years ago, before you understood systems even, like, how they deliver their website. We're like, wow, that's really sloppy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's six clicks before people get to their desired end goal, people are probably never even getting there. To us, that's an obvious, right?
That's a good point.
To them, they're like, we just started this yesterday. We're just trying to
year two.
Yeah, exactly. We're just trying to get the daggone AI to not give seven fingers to the person outside of Planned Parenthood. You know what I'm saying? And then they're like, oh, this is cool. We bought the ad space. Okay. Oh wow. People are mad. Well, that's not bad. People are still going to the website. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they're. It's just not thinking it through. But it's tons of money on it.
Yes.
So I don't think it's bad. I don't like hearing them speak is like, all right, cool. I just don't think it's bad. It's probably someone with a good heart that's actually probably not even leading the company. They're just throwing a bunch of money at it. They just like the fun money. They made a company. Cool, this is what we do.
We see, according to the Bible, that prayer is extremely important in terms of us being transformed from the inside out when we get aligned with God's will. For the Christians watching this channel, I want you guys to implement these spiritual disciplines in your day-to-day life. And the only way I've been able to do this consistently is through writing down my prayers in a prayer journal that does a few things. One, it allows me to reflect and come to God humbly and ask him to move on my behalf. And two, it allows me to document my prayers, which ultimately helped me remember the very things that I was praying for and see the hand of God tangibly in my life when he answers them. So I would urge you, consider writing down your prayers. It could be in a blank notebook. It could even be on your phone. Or you could check out the one I personally designed and used for my own quiet time and spiritual discipline that I think will be a huge blessing. It's the exact structure and system that I've used for years to pray and be more consistent in my spiritual disciplines. You can pick yours up today by clicking the link in the pinned comment below. All right, I'll see you over there. Peace.